This episode of Last Exit to Ponyville is brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. Go to OffWorldDesigns.com to check out their wide variety of geeky and pop-cultured inspired t-shirts. Offworld Designs carries shirts from a wide variety of artists and themes, from anime to zombies and everything in between. Whether you're a brony, a follower of Great Cthulhu, or just think dragons are awesome, Offworld Designs has you covered. Use coupon code BROHOOF to receive 10% off your order. OffWorldDesigns.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Bronies, forever. Woo!
Hey guys, welcome out to The Last Exit to Ponyville. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. And of course, I am joined by my equine compatriots, my favorite friend, the girl I certainly wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley.
Hi, it's Laura.
Holy crap. It's good to have you back on the show. It seems like it's been a long time since we've done a Ponyville.
About
2 weeks, I'd say.
Busy lives.
Yeah, busy lives, just kind of the way it is. And of course, it would not be Last Exit to Ponyville without that other guy.
That would be me! He's talking about me, Laura!
But you're right here!
I know, it's amazing. Hey guys, it's Trevor, what's going on? It's good to be back, talking ponies.
Isn't it?
It is good to be back talking ponies, and I finally caught up with season 3 and know what's going on.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because we're only in February, and the show's over, at least until season 4 comes around, and we don't know when that's going to be.
I saw a rumor about the premiere date that made me, like, really sad. It was 2014 in the fall.
Ouch.
That's, like,
that doesn't seem very smart on their... Art.
That's like, no, make Trevor sad.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, probably comes down to production, but we'll talk about that as we go through the show. But I do have to welcome our new sponsor, as you guys heard off the top of the show, offworlddesigns.com. I'm actually wearing their I Heart Brony shirt right now, which is obviously a takeoff on the I Love New York thing. It's, goddamn, these things are comfortable. So yeah, you should go check them out. Like I said, code BROHOOF. To get some awesome brony-inspired t-shirts.
Go buy their wares.
Woo!
Exactly. We love our sponsors. But, sorry, Trevor, what was that?
I said we do love our sponsors.
He was concurring.
Concurring, yes. All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, we don't have anything from the Ponyville gift shop this week, simply because, well, Toy Fair passed this past month, so a lot of the toy companies are just simply busy right now. But I am working hard to secure some new cool-looking plushies, which I just recently found out about. And we also don't have anything from our friends over at Daily Equestria, or Equestria Daily, rather, due to the recent convention snafu, which happened over the weekend with the Lost Pegasus Unicorn. And unfortunately, Cyril Velocity didn't make it back in time. As far as I know, last time I talked with him, this was as of last night, he was still stuck in Dallas.
That's poopy.
I guess we should probably talk about this. I mean, what has everybody heard about this thing so far?
Well, I touch base on this, I only heard a little bit from what I could read off Tara Strong's Twitter feed. Basically stating that she went to this convention, she had a great time, but then she didn't get paid her fee, and no one got paid their fee, and so I'm looking at the Twitter feed, I'm like, what's going on here, reading into it more, and then I just learned that, oh, it's just one of these cases where obviously these people didn't know what they were doing, gotten way over their heads, and now there's a lot of problems.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what I heard. Like, I heard that Tara's being, like, as much as she's more upset with how things were run rather than the attendees and like apparently the people who were working at the convention, all the volunteers and everything, were doing a great job. Everybody was really kind and patient and polite. They were struggling with just the amount of people that showed up, and apparently people who were setting up to like promote their own cons were like jumping in to help, and like the community that kind of stepped up was great. It's just the actual organizers did a bum job.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that people are stuck in Las Vegas and still, I mean, we're recording this on Tuesday night. There are people still stuck there right now. Now, there actually is a link that if you go over to EquestriaDaily.com that links to a Google Doc. And if you were happen to be impacted by this, it gives you some kind of contact information for some kind of financial restitution. Now, there are people involved with the show that are helping. One of the writers from the show, M.A. Larson, is auctioning off some buttons. And I'm looking at the one auction, and it is currently sitting at $434. And they're signed. They're called I Believe in M.A. Larson. The next highest one is sitting at $405, and I think the lowest one is, I think, $380. Evidently, this is to help people who are supporting the non-musician, non-writer, non-special guests to cope with their sudden and unfair surge of unexpected expenses. So, yeah, I also saw the Tara Strong comments that were made about it, and I was hoping, just because I help run conventions myself, that it was just a simple misunderstanding, but what a way to, frankly, get fucked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was saying, like, a guest apparently had to pay for their own hotel rooms, which, you know, is kind of standard.
Surprise bills.
Yeah, a lot of surprise, like, hey, you're expecting to make money and you walk away owing money. That's always a bad time.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that the organizers get something figured out. And although I don't know from a public relations standpoint, their reputation, if this was an annual con, I don't know what's going to happen for next year. I mean, we're a pretty strong community of bronies and whatnot, but when one of us fucks up, we tend to fuck up large. I really hope they do something.
Yeah, a few years back, I think reading through Penny Arcade, I read this instance where this couple put together this gaming convention. I don't know where, but it was somewhere in the United States. Anyway, it was their first time doing a convention. It turned out to be quite large, but they weren't able to really handle the finances. And so they were like $50,000 in debt as a result of putting on this convention. And so they put it to Penny Arcade. This is like, we need help or we're going to lose everything. And the gaming community came together and actually paid off that debt. They raised that money within days of, it was like a old school PayPal donation thing. And I think I even chipped in $5 because that's a shitty, you know, position to be in. So, I mean, if this is something the Brony community can get together and just, you know, hey, this is not a great situation, help you out, I'll kick in $10.
Yeah. In fact, I would love to hear any stories that may have come out of this. So feel free to hit up our voicemail line, 817-717-7202, or email us feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Tell me what happened, like your particular side of it. And like I said, we wish anybody who got screwed over by this that everything gets all settled out quickly. So I guess we should talk about today's topic. And of course, you have to know what it is. Well, we were going to talk about this about a week ago, but Laura unfortunately got sick. I wasn't feeling the greatest either. So we've now had a week to think, to stew, to analyze.
I'm not even going to lie. I was sick and I hadn't watched it yet. And so I took the time when I wasn't well to sit and watch it to get caught up because it was behind.
Yeah, same here. See, this is one season where I'm not watching it when it airs live. I wait a couple days afterwards. Which normally for shows I don't miss, like, for example, I wouldn't miss A Walking Dead. But for Ponies, I find I have to be in just the right mood. But it's always something that cheers me up whenever I'm having a crappy day. Let's talk about season 3. Let's get the big elephant out of the room first and foremost. What did you guys think of the season finale?
I loved it. It was awesome. I got a little misty, but I do that at just about everything. And I think it really was fitting.
So right off the bat, my thoughts was I completely loved it. I've watched it maybe 8 times in the span of 3 days, which I hadn't done with any of the other episodes really. I'm sure we'll, you know, elaborate, but let's, Mike, what did you think?
You know what? I truthfully wasn't really blown away. I know. I seem to be the dissenting opinion here. Although I did like how it was returned to a very musical episode. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that.
It's really interesting. I was looking at my notes here. I got my iPad out. And I made a little, you know, looking at Discovery here. The season 3 songs, for the previous 12 episodes, there were a total of 7 songs. So one for every 2 episodes, essentially. But for the last episode, in just that one episode, there were 7 songs. So it seems like they blew half of their music budget on this one episode.
Yeah, because I don't remember them talking a whole hell of a lot, actually.
No, it was pretty much everything.
It fit for the episode, though.
It did. I mean, it was a musical. That's how I saw it. And you know what? I got to say, I liked all the songs.
Me too.
In particular, my favorite song is Celestia's Ballad. Sometimes I just put that song on when I'm working. I just think it's a beautiful song with a really nice melody. And I can't recall if ever we've heard Celestia sing before, but, you know, she's got the voice actress has a great voice. And yeah, I really loved it. Another favorite song of mine probably is the What My Cutie Mark Is Telling Me. I thought that was arranged very nicely. Again, all the singing from all the main six was great. Yeah, I just really liked the music. Like, I didn't like all the music from this season. In fact, I hated Bab Seed.
I thought it was catchy. It reminded me of Gem and the Holograms.
We'll get into this later, but we're going to talk about our top three episodes and also the episode that we dislike the most. But staying on with music, Mike, did you have any favorite tunes from the episode?
I liked the Destiny song. There's just something about that song that just really, it just really grabbed me. I just thought it was really well done. Although I wasn't too big on the Celestia one. But, I don't know, overall, I liked the way that episode flowed. I mean, it seemed very much like a stage play to me in terms of how the music just all kind of drifted into each other, and it was never really jarring.
Well, in terms of flowing of the whole episode, when I was, like, on YouTube, a lot of the complaints from the episode was the really quite fast pacing.
Yeah, I thought it went by ludicrously fast.
I mean, it did. They definitely shoved a lot into this one episode. I understand we only had 13 episodes for this season, but if I were to have, you know, done this differently, I would have taken the Crystal Empire story arc and done that in a single episode and done this one over two episodes to round out season three.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I think that's my biggest problem with the season finale. I didn't like it because it went by too quickly, and it just seems like they crammed too much. Honestly, this should have been a two-parter or maybe an extended episode in some capacity. Because the thing to me, it didn't feel like a season finale. I mean, honestly, it feels like this is probably going to get lost on some of you. It feels like the Star Trek The Next Generation TNG Season 2 ender, where it was a clip show. And what I mean by that is they just crammed everything in. And yeah, it was cool. It was great. But it just didn't seem like a season finale to me. This seemed more like a mid-season finale.
See, like, I can see that. But what I really took from the episode, besides Twilight, you know, becoming a princess, was it kind of rehashed what each of the ponies' destiny is and why their friendship is so important to them. And I think that is so, like, it's important. And I could see it working better as like a mid-season finale, you're right. But at the same time, I think it was still good content, what you would want for some sort of finale.
Yeah.
A nice recap of, yeah, that's what, you know, Rainbow Dash is all about, you know? Mm-hmm. Nice reminder, because we haven't really touched on the Destiny part in a long time and like the special skills for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay, all right, maybe there's something for us to kind of talk about before. All right, I guess one last point on this. Where do you guys fall on the Alicorn thing?
Love it!
Absolutely love it. Myself personally, Mike, I love it when I see characters evolve and change. And like if they just stay the same, it gets boring for me. I think that's why I stopped watching The Simpsons like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Because Bart
Simpson's ever changed.
He's been in the fourth grade for 15 years. I love it when I see characters evolve, and this is no exception. Like back in, you know, Transformers, Transmetal, and they evolved and became different, completely reignited my love for that franchise. And for this particular instance, I think this gives the writers a lot of possibilities. They said that this isn't going to change her, and she's going to be the same Twilight that we all know and love. But obviously, they're going to bring in new challenges for her. Personally, I love it. I know that this is more or less split the party, you know, to use an RPG expression in the Brony community. So, Mike, I'm going to turn the same question over to you. What do you think about this whole Alicorn business?
I don't like the character design. I'm okay with her being an Alicorn. I just don't like the way that she's drawn as the Alicorn. It just seems like there's too much going on in her design.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think her wings are slightly different. I'm destroying the office here, by the way. Sorry. Her wings are slightly different if you compare them to Fluttershy and Rainbow Dash's. It's kind of like in between the full size, you know, bigger wings of like Princess Cadence.
Yeah, which makes sense, I think.
Which makes sense, but at the same time, maybe I would have liked to seen the wing design of like Fluttershy and Rainbow Dash on her. I don't know. Maybe it is slightly jarring.
I think it would make sense for her not to have just, you know, copycat of the two Pegasus, but like be kind of somewhere in between, you know, because she's still, you know, growing into her new role, right? Like, you got to give her time to, you know, catch up to herself.
Yeah, personally, I think I will admit I would prefer in season four if this Alicorn thing continues all the way through. I think
you could tell it was going to. It's not like they were like, oh, you know, you can call upon this power when you need it. It's like, I would definitely. You're a princess now. Coronation.
I would definitely prefer it if they animated her with her wings folded in most of the time, just because it
probably will.
It is slightly jarring to see wings behind Twilight's head, I will admit. But I think the idea of being an Alicorn and what this brings to the table, I think, is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that it will open up new story possibilities for her, which I think it'll be cool. Maybe having Rainbow Dash teaching her how to fly or something, or maybe having her go to flight school or something like that.
Cloudsdale and like hang out there for a bit and learn new things there. And
that's right.
I think another part of it is like a good story arc, I think, because like we're still, you know, Friendship is Magic is all learning about like the ups and downs of friendship and working at friendship. Is someone has got to get like the green-eyed monster going on. It's like, oh, Twilight's an Alicorn? Well, why aren't I an Alicorn? Like, I'm jealous, you know? Because that's something that all friends deal with at some point, is that really deep-seated, you know,
jealousy.
Greed and jealousy of wanting it for yourself. And I think that would be an awesome episode to touch on.
That's a very good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think would actually be kind of jealous of her?
I would say, at the end of the day, it's either going to be Rarity because of the look...
Yep.
Or Rainbow Dash because of the additional like coolness.
Yeah, maybe. Definitely, I think Rarity would definitely.
She would do it for the aesthetic because she wanted the wings in the one episode in the first season bad. But she would be all more about the fashion sense behind being an Alicorn and being a princess. She'd be jealous about being a princess, whereas Rainbow Dash would be jealous of being like not. The coolest one, you know.
So yeah, she's not the cool one in the group anymore.
So the two of them could have like different sides of their jealousy, and that could be a great episode, or even a bit of an overarching thing for the whole next season.
I saw a YouTube comment that said, "Oh no, there's no balance anymore because there's two of each kind in the group, and now one of them is like, you know, vaulted outside."
That could be like the next season finale. Like, monster is a green-eyed monster.
We should get M.A. Larson.
Oh yes, I'm so smart.
Now that's another thing to kind of talk about this season. There was no big bad to be overcome. There was just them figuring out the whole destiny thing. And I don't know. I kind of liked this season finale for me. It didn't seem as crucial as the other seasons might have been. You know what I mean? It just didn't seem as big.
Yeah, like, I definitely, for a finale, I know they rushed this season a little bit, but, like, if I had to put it over two episodes, what I would have had happen is not Twilight trying to figure out a spell just on its own and, like, that screw, but, like, she unlocks this ancient magician who turns out to be evil, and he's the one who, like, is like, ha ha ha, I've ruined all your friendships. And then it's like her goal over the course of the two stories to not only defeat him, but, you know, gain that extra magic. And that would have been a bit more crucial, because if she didn't fix it, this villainous guy was going to be running around ruining everything.
It would have been cool had they brought back King Sombra, because he was just kind of there for all of a minute, 30 seconds.
It was like Galactus in the final Fantastic Four movie. It was just kind of a cloud.
Yeah, like, ooh, look at me, gone. Yeah, Although one of the things I will say about this season, so I guess we can kind of move our discussion forward, I was murderously surprised when they brought back Discord.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was really cute when he was like, I don't care if I have no friends. Oh, wait, I do care. Fluttershy, you're great. I want a hug.
All right, so if we're going to reel back and talk about the rest of the season, I definitely wanted to touch on this episode. I didn't like it.
Really? How come?
Because what's really kind of, one of the things that's really irked me this season is how they've so quickly resolved these enemies.
Yeah, right. There has been a lot of quick resolution.
They've resolved Trixie. They're all friends now. Mm-hmm. They've resolved Discord. Mm-hmm. They're all friends now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, come on. You gotta... It's like if you were... Okay, if you ever took an improv class and you're like improvising a scene and a guy goes, hey, let's go to the ice cream store, and the guy says no.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, we can't go anywhere else. Like, where do you go now?
Yeah, you're kind of stuck. That's... Yeah,
By keeping these characters open-ended, you know, I'll be back again, my pretties.
You'll rue the day!
It gives writers more opportunities to expand on those characters. So, I mean, if Discord's good now, like, careful. I don't want to see an episode where Discord's nice. That's not the fun that was Discord. So, it was great to see, you know, John Delancey back and to hear and see Discord again. But again, I just didn't like how they just resolved this awesome character.
I kind of hope next season he gets an opportunity to maybe sacrifice himself for his friends. I mean, maybe he just gets turned back to stone and Celeste says, I can't break the spell for 100 years. And maybe they could say that. And maybe the underlying tone is learning how to say goodbye to a friend.
Yeah. That makes me cry.
I guess, you know, if I were to, if the way I would do it is kind of like along the same lines as you is they would be a great evil and they have to bring all these previous evil people together and be like, hey, we need your help.
That's a good idea.
Go hit this thing with a stick and then maybe some, you know, it'd be like a more of like epic conclusion, that sort of thing. I did say I like it when characters evolve, but. Usually,
but not too much of evolution. Like, gotta be the right amount.
I like it when protagonists evolve. I'll be more distinct on my, you know, my stance on that. Antagonists, I like them to kind of keep going.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who's supposed to embody chaos, he came around really friggin' fast. And I think that was my issue with it. I mean, like I said, I'm glad that he's working with them now, but I like how they kind of left the door. He's like, well, I'll use my magic for good most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be kind of funny if, say, him and that Griffin from the first season, Gilda, because they both like to play pranks on people, if maybe they teamed up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there could be some fun there. One of the things about this season, I felt like character development really kind of took a back seat in a lot of things. I mean, there were a few episodes that did well, but it just felt like it was, what situation can we drop them in right now?
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
some of it kind of reminded me of, especially with the two quick resolutions, not great amounts of character building, decent fan fiction, not great fan fiction, but decent fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that. I'm not quite sure.
I don't know how much Pony fanfiction you've read, or any fanfiction in general, but I find a big problem with a lot of fanfiction that I've personally read is a lot of the times the ending is... Endings are hard. Endings are always probably the hardest part of any story. And one of the things is that, like, the resolution is all of a sudden it's like, okay, the story's going, oh, it's over. And it's like, oh, okay, so now everybody's friends forever. I get it. I guess. Like, it's not bad, but, I mean, it's not as fleshed out as it could be.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, it's difficult to get anything across in 20 minutes.
Yes.
And what they've done in, you know, previous episodes has been fantastic. So I guess, you know, if we can continue on through the series...
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked, there's like a couple we haven't even touched on before. So, what about the Apple Family Apple Family Reunion.
I like that episode. I thought it was pretty fun. I mean, it was cool to see because I know the Apple family is really big, and we haven't really seen the whole lot of them since the very beginning. So it was cool to see them all together and like seeing Granny Smith as a youngin' again, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that was cute.
Yeah, I really didn't have any problems with the episode at all. I thought it was delightful. Mike, any thoughts on the...
It was just kind of there for me. I thought it was okay. Like I said, I did like the fact that we saw more of the Apple family. Mm-hmm. I hope we get a chance to see them more in future episodes.
All right. So, just plowing ahead, the next episode after that was Spike at Your Service. And personally, I love this episode. I thought it was so well done. I thought the animation was just tops. And love the story. This is, of course, where Spike looks after everyone's pets and everything goes to hell.
See, I think out of the entire thing, he had the most character development for the most part. Like, that episode really kind of told Spike he maybe had to stop thinking just of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was... But at the same time, at the end, he still, you know, he learned something, but he didn't change completely. I mean, he still ate that last gem.
Yeah, but he didn't like fess up to his mistake.
He no, completely but I think, got I away think with it. He, yeah, that's kind of a downside. But at least it showed that he was like, okay, maybe I was a bit of a dummy.
This is the only episode this season that I missed, actually.
Oh, it's pretty decent. It aired out of order. That was the thing. Like the actual production number on that one is like 8, but it aired episode like 11.
Yeah, it was episode 10 according to this Wikipedia entry.
Yeah.
I think what was again, you're gonna like miss out on this part, Mike, because during the course of that episode, we see interactions with at the end with the ponies who go to the Crystal Ponyland Palace. Sorry, had a brain fart there. And the two episodes, and the other episode I'm talking about is Games Ponies Play. Those two episodes actually mesh together at certain points. So at the beginning of Games Ponies Play, you see the scene, Spike at Your Service, where the ponies depart from Spike. And at the end, you see that come together again. It's really brilliant how they did it. The story by Dave Polsky did a fantastic job. Just I've never seen that before in a My Little Pony episode. I thought it was like really cool because... It actually really confused me because the Games Pony Play, I was like, wait a minute, is this the right episode? Because this looks like Spike at Your Service. But I was pleasantly surprised that they did a little ringer on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we talked about Keep Calm and Flutter On, the Discord rehabilitation episode, which kind of fell flat with me. And I think that's the basis of season 3. So, Mr. Mike Dodd, I'd like to propose a question to you.
Yes, sir.
You've seen season 3. Except for one episode. I would like to discuss your top three picks.
My top three picks for me are my favorite episode this season, without a doubt, was Wonderbolt Academy. Mm-hmm. That just, to me, it was a huge Top Gun riff. And just there's just something about that episode that just really took me. The next one that I liked was Sleepless in Ponyville.
Mm-hmm.
I love anything that has the Cutie Mark Crusaders. I really do. Then I'd probably say Too Many Pinkie Pies for obvious reasons. Oh,
come on. Yeah, of course.
I love that one. Well, just the fact that they had the G3 pony reference and the fact that you really heard Andrea Libman really give a performance in that episode because it really felt like Pinkie's like, well, if I'm not real, then what purpose do I have? And it was just that, just that hint of super intelligent writing, like, it's an existential crisis. Please keep talking about this. This is really cool. Because I really like depth in my cartoons and I maybe look a little too far into things, but I was really happy with like that particular episode. But I'd say overall, my favorite is definitely Wonderbolt Takayu. Now for my bottom three, where do I start? I was not happy with Magic Duel at all. Mm. I hated One Bad Apple.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think. I honestly, the second part of the Crystal Empire, I like the first one a lot just because of like Spy Pinky.
But threw his wife at it.
Yeah, that's true. But overall, though, just this season, I hate to say it, it was not my favorite.
No, I think it was a little too over the place for me.
It was a little rushed.
I mean, it's slightly disappointing. We did get some good stuff out of it, but at the same time, it's like it was only 13 episodes. You would have thought you would have taken the best and condensed it in, and we should have got 13 gemstones. But we got a kind of some hits and misses, which is really unfortunate.
Which is the same for, I would say, most average TV shows to begin with. So I mean, we just got high standards.
So, yeah. So Mike, that was your top three, bottom three, right?
Yep.
Got through. Okay, so I'm going to pass it over to Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura, hit us with your top three.
Well, I got to go with The Sleepless in Ponyville as well. One, I love like the whole like telling scary stories around the campfire. Like I always loved that when I was younger. So that like for myself, that was that like hint of nostalgia for myself. I love Princess Luna. So seeing her pop up and help out was really sweet. I love Scootaloo. I think she is adorably cute. So I have to give that one props. I don't know. I guess can I tie just for sidekicks games Ponies Play because it's kind of almost like a two-parter on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But like I actually really enjoyed that one. I think it was a better showcase of the Crystal Empire than the actual Crystal Empire one. I thought it was so funny when they were like they got the wrong girl, like the wrong like commissioner the games, and they're like. And the real commissioner's just getting pooped on the whole time. I thought it was funny.
No, it was great. I mean, I thought a little nuance in there where they made her agoraphobic.
Yeah.
I think that's the proper one where she's afraid of inside.
Agoraphobic is afraid of going outside.
Oh, okay.
She was claustrophobic because of the tight spaces.
Of course. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was just an interesting little
tidbit. Yeah. And I like that it kind of came around that, like, getting that unbiased opinion is what did it. And, like, Rainbow Dash's own, like, memories of being a child, like, were really good. And then I loved Magical Mystery Cure. I love Twilight getting her wings and, like, evolving. I thought it was a really nice episode. Again, a little rushed. But at the end of the day, it was a lot of fun.
So what was your top? What would you place in the one?
I can't do it. I'm at it then.
Okay.
Well, let me give you my bottom three here.
Bottom three. So save your most hated one for last.
Ooh, God, I'm going through them just to kind of remind myself. And like, they weren't great, but like, I don't know. I would put Spike at Your Service near the bottom. I don't know, just... It wasn't memorable. Like, I totally forgot about that episode.
Wait, didn't you add that one into your top three?
Spike at Your Service is the one with the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the one you're thinking of is just for sidekicks. Spike at Your Service is when he owes Applejack a debt. It's kind of a cliched sort of storyline. And if you're going to do cliche, do it right. Like, make sure you really make it something special and original. And it was so, I guess, cliche that it wasn't memorable to me. Like, I totally forgot about it. You guys mixed up the names of it because you totally didn't even bother to look at it because you're just like, oh, you forgot that there was the other episode, right? That in itself makes it kind of near the bottom for me because it just didn't make me remember it.
My mistake.
No, it's okay. That it proves my point.
I even
have
it on my iPad in front of me and I'm like, derp.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's I totally understand. Let's see. What else wasn't great? I got to say I was... More because I was disappointed in Magic Duel. I thought, like, the twist and, like, them proving Trixie, you know, you can use your brain over Brawn. But the resolution was too quick. The resolution was too quick. And then last, I got to put Crystal Empire Part 2. Because the big bad wasn't that big baddie. Like, it just, they didn't actually have to face anything. And it was kind of like...
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of on its own. It was like, if you're going to have a big bad, make him make me feel like, oh, they might not make it this time. You know, that's what a big bad's there for. It's to make you actually worry about the characters, not be like, ah, they got those. He's boring. He's a smoke monster. So that's mine.
So that pretty much kind of sums it up how all over the place the season was. You had part one in your top three and part two in your bottom three. So that kind of proves it right there. So. Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, come on.
Okay. top three. I'll save the. I'll go in order of preference. Number three favorite. I would probably give it to. I'll give it to the Wonderbolts Academy. I thought it's something I've been wanting to see with the Rainbow Dash character for a long time, and we finally got to see it, and I wasn't disappointed. Number two. I would put it at, again, just for sidekicks. Loved it.
Yeah, it was cute.
It was very cute. And, of course, no surprise, my top would have to be Magical Mystery Cure.
Yeah, like, it was great.
Because I watched it 8 times in 2 days. How could I not catchy. Say it was...
And my... I was like, go Twilight!
Exactly. You did it. Oh, that's my top three. But now I really want to focus on the bottom three. Because I got some...
I got
some bones to pick here. Okay, so bottom three... Sorry, Dodd, I gotta put too many Pinkie Pies.
Betrayal!
I kind of would have put that in the bottom half myself. Wasn't quite bottom three, but like maybe bottom four.
It was fun.
It was funny, but it was just too much.
And it just, like, for me, it was like, that was the thing that got Pinkie to, like, I don't know, it just kind of seemed like that wasn't very Pinkie-ish.
Yeah,
it seemed like a really weird way to, like, resolve it.
Yeah, I will say there were some moments that had me pissing myself laughing when she jumped in the lake, for example, and mm-hmm. But overall it was too much for me. Number two, I would put the Spike at Your Service with the Timberwolf episode. For some reason, I was watching this episode, I thought the animation was really not great.
It's so weird. Like, that's, like, all over the place. It was an episode that focused on Spike.
Yeah.
And it was like, meh. But the other episode that focused on Spike was so good.
Yeah, it's really weird. I was watching this episode and something was just bothering me the whole time I was watching it. It's like, Applejack looks weird. Spike did the thing, weird thing there. And I don't know. It's just something just put me off and I was never able to shake it. But, of course, my most hated was...
I love it. Hated.
Oh, God. One bad apple. Just go away and please never...
Well, that was an important message about bullying.
Listen, out of anyone in this room, I can totally agree with that. I was bullied to no ends, to the point where, you know, tears and the whole lot. And, you know, I'm surprised...
that By
I'm
me.
This, yeah. No, I can definitely understand... the message, I could fully get behind it. You know, I take martial arts, and I believe in the message that, you know, it's with martial arts, the whole idea is that you avoid fights at all costs. But for this one, it just wasn't executed well for me. I hated the character of Babs, everything about her, the design, voice. I hate her. I want her to go away.
Now, here's a weird thing. Did you know she is the daughter of Vegeta, the original Vegeta?
Well, no, but now I know.
Now you know. Over 9,000. Moving on.
I can't unknow that. So she's just the daughter of a famous voice actor who got in. I don't know. I'm being harsh. I'm being a bully. I know.
You bastard.
But most importantly about this episode
is... Picking on a child. Jeez, Trevor.
Loathed the song.
Yeah.
Loathed it.
But it's like freaking... Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah, but Gem was at least catchy. I hate
the Holograms. There, I said it.
You hate Gem? Get
out of my house.
Okay, I guess I got to go.
I hate Gem.
I am.
No one else is the same.
He's not truly, truly outraged.
That's right. He needs to be more animated. So those are my feelings. I think we all agree in season 3... not quite what we were expecting. But well, yeah. I think we got some good episodes out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd say overall, this season was I'd give it maybe 60-40 for me in terms of actual hits and actual misses. And that's really unfortunate because I think this show's fandom is getting near its height. I mean, so many people know about it. I mean, brony's a term that everybody knows. In fact, I've done interviews with the Toronto Standard, talking about the brony community. I got picked for MTV Creeps because I'm a brony. Look how much it's infiltrated pop culture. I can't think of any other show that's done this in the recent 10 years like this.
Back up a second. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What, MTV Creeps?
Yeah, I was picked because I'm a brony.
What is MTV Creeps?
It is a television show that looks at your social media to see if you're interesting. Is it enough to give you your own MTV pilot? And you will find out that answer in 2 weeks when my episode airs.
I mean, but oh, creeping. I get it.
Social. Yeah.
All right. For a second, I was worried they're going to put you on a plinth and just point and lay, hey, laugh at this guy because he likes ponies.
You know what's weird? I actually this I can tell you, they couldn't make fun of me for that. Surprisingly, I actually, I don't want to say too much, but I think I represented the community well and the elements of friendship. That's what I'll say. So yeah, I'll have a link in the show later on as soon as it airs. But I don't know. There's just this season felt very disconnected.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big problem with it.
Yeah. I can see that.
And I hated the fact that it was only 13 seasons. Now, the fact that season four, let's say your rumor's true and it's 2014, what a mistake. It should be, if it's going to be 2014, I'm okay as long as it's in the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because honestly, if it launches now, that's fine.
I was looking at the wiki, and from what it says, it's supposed to be 26 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, that's yay, but if we have to wait over a year and a bit, that's
nasty. That's bad for the fandom, because this means...
That's the thing with the mid-season breaks and taking breaks and breaks, you're going to lose interest. I mean, at the end of the day, Walking Dead took a mid-season break, and I have no desire to watch it anymore.
And Breaking Bad has taken a year off?
Yeah, I haven't even gone back to the last season because I want to watch all the episodes in one go. And so I'm just having to wait. And so, yeah, I agree. All these disconnections and the waits can definitely, you know, have a toll, because as a community, we need content.
Uh-huh.
We need to absorb and eat and talk about content. Like, what's going to happen to us?
Yeah, it's going to get very hard to do shows, but at the same time, it kind of gives us a chance to go back and perhaps re-examine issues in the community. And I'm hoping we get a lot of interviews for the show, because God knows we're going to need it. But it's – I don't know. I mean, it seems like a lot of television is following the British formula of television.
Yes.
By having shorter seasons and having these mid-season breaks.
Mm-hmm. I've absolutely noticed that. They're doing like a Top Gear on everything.
And that's just not a good way to do television in North America.
No.
And unless you're an AMC that has, like I said, The Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, basically all these really high-powered cable shows, you can do it because the audience there is freaking huge. Is it bigger than the Brony community? Yes. That's why they can do it. And I think Hasbro is taking a huge risk by having it that long. Now, what I think they should do is between now and the season premiere of season four, there needs to be one animated movie, 1 hour. Yes. Have it a special on the hub during the fall and say, hey, guys, new My Little Pony coming February 14th, 2014. Give us something that length.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something. Now, the only new piece of content that we really have right now is the Brony documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know if that's enough to sustain a community. Now, there was a lot of really cool stuff showing at Toy Fair, which doesn't come out until the fall. So right now, all we have is the Crystal Empire stuff on the shelves, along with the previous generations. Yes, we have the IDW comic.
Yeah.
I think that's issue four now.
That's pretty much what I have to sustain me right now.
Yeah.
It's actually two IDW comics. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was up to issue four now, but...
No. Issue three is out, and then issue one of the micro series came out.
What? Wait. Okay. Mike, can we talk about this for a sec?
Yes, we can.
This is the first I've heard about this. So, Mike, do tell. Mike. Called you Laura. Mike. Laura!
I have Tish, but not as nice as Laura. So.
No, that's fine. You're thinking of the micro series. That's probably why. Anyway,
yeah.
Micro series. IDW does these micro series sometimes. They're doing one with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And IDW is basically their entire lineup for the most. It's like 95% of their lineup of comics is all licensed material, like Transformers, Mutant Turtles, you know, all those guys. And ponies is one of their things. And so what they're doing is a micro series where each issue, and there's going to be six issues, focuses on a member of the main six. If it's popular enough, like they've gotten done with other ones, they probably extend it and do a whole, like, say, Spike issue, a whole Celestia issue. Rarity. They're doing a rarity
one. Good. I'll buy four.
And like the other ones, they all have variant covers and different covers, and you get to pick what cover you like. Twilight Sparkle is the first one to come out. And they're doing the entire main six. Each character gets their own issue. And like I said, if it's going to be popular, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, all right, let's give...
Final Scratch.
Who knows? Their own, like, micro series issue. It would probably sell. Why not?
Well, I gotta say I'm loving the main series. I haven't read number 3 yet, but I'm reading the comics and I'm like, oh my god, the writing in this is amazing.
Yeah, Katie Cook, she's gonna be in Toronto in a couple weeks for the comic convention going on.
Oh yeah, oh they. It just seems that they can get away with a lot more with the comics. And the other thing is, more cameos than
so far the comic, because I've read it up to issue 3. It would have made for a great 2-part like episode of the show.
Absolutely,
it's just a really welled out, like they travel to the Changeling Empire, mm-hmm. and like it's such a good episode. Or issue a series, like it could have really worked for an episode.
It's the epic journeys that
I say for our next show we go out and read every issue that there is so far. By that point there should be at least another micro series and hopefully another issue of the McCore series, and we should all discuss it.
Okay, yeah, that is not a problem. I only have the first issue now, but I can visit my local shop, or I can probably come to see you this weekend, Laura, so I guess I'll pick up whatever I got. So that works. So yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think what else is there to really say. Oh, they're supposedly gonna do an official soundtrack to the series, but supposedly they're wondering if it's gonna make any money. I don't see why it wouldn't.
Well, I remember buying tons of soundtracks when I was young.
Yeah.
So I had Pokemon soundtrack and
I still have those.
Yeah, so I mean, they pretty much have a license to print money right now, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, take advantage of your fandom while it's there. I guess you really have to approach it from an older person's demographic, basically the people who are in charge of the license, which it's really weird because Hasbro, it's like they're hot and cold with the fan community. I mean, one thing that I want to talk about before we end the show is, as you guys know, earlier this month, My Little Pony Fighting Is Magic got cease and desisted.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's a real loss to the Brony community, because it was supposed to be played at Evo this year in the 8th space for a charity tournament. Which I'm pretty... all I know, it was supposed to be at Evo. I'm not sure whether it was for tournament or charity or what have you. Now, I have the Evo build of the game on my computer. Just because it's been C&D doesn't mean that it's gone. And it is such a loss to the gaming community. I am so sad at this. But then again, this is not the first My Little Pony game to get canceled. My Little Pony Online got shit-canned back in December, and the developers for Fighting Is Magic Main 6, they always knew this was a threat. This was a problem, but even Lauren Faust herself came out and said, hey guys, what if I gave you original ponies? Would this save the project? And they're like, no. And that just disappoints me in a level I can't really describe.
To be honest, when you first told me about Fighting His Magic, I was honestly surprised it didn't get a cease and desist earlier, because I was like, I understand how corporations work, and while I also understand that Hasbro is very, you know, open to the community, I mean, this was a subject matter that kind of flies in the face of what they're trying to create, you know, a violent game involving ponies that are about friendship. I would have played the shit out of it. Don't get me wrong. I probably would have loved it. But I see where Hasbro is coming from, but they should have done it way sooner and not wasted these nice gentlemen's time. That's what really pisses me off. It's like, okay, I understand where Hasbro is coming from, but you waited until they were almost done and they poured thousands of man hours into it, and now they have nothing to show for it.
I mean, they did learn a lot, and that's something I think Main 6 is going to walk away from this with, is at least they learned how to do some really cool things. And this really shows the power of crowdsourcing by just getting a group of passionate fans together. Now, honestly, this game will be finished. This game will make it to underground pony fighting tournaments, and here's why. The community is so strong for this game. The code is out there. Like I said, I have the Evo version.
Yeah.
What is to stop somebody from decompiling it and finishing it?
Nobody. I mean, were the Main 6 ever like they were never actually going to like sell it. They could
It was just going to be, here it is, guys, have fun.
All right. Well, then, yeah, I mean, they could do a Sword Art Online ending sort of thing where they just they put the code out there and they go, whoops, what are you talking about? We don't know. It's we had a couple copies out before. It's not our fault. You know, you, this we gave out copies before you gave us a cease and desist. This is out there now. It's in the wind, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there. This is something it's going to live on. It's going to give our community a little bit of infamy. And for all the right reasons. I mean, the fact that they had articles on it on Kotaku, Joystick, GameSpot, people paid attention to this.
Yeah.
And people still want it. And I've been playing it with my PlayStation 3 controller and my fight stick. This is a tournament-level fighter. I mean, yeah, there needs to be a little bit of balancing done here and there, but I've got a combo with Pinkie Pie where I can bounce you off the ground. You won't touch the ground for about 20 hits. Like, good friggin' luck. It shares an input system remarkably similar to Marvel versus Capcom, where you have a light attack, a strong attack, and a heavy attack, and a launcher, and a magic button. And just there's so much about this game that needs to be done. There's so much personality in the animations and the stages. Now, the version I've got, someone decided to kind of play with it, and they put Guile's stage from Street Fighter 2 in, which is tremendously fun when you see Pinkie Pie beating the crap out of Applejack and the Street Fighter characters are hanging out in the background. But yeah, honestly, one of the things that's going to happen with this game, it's going to pick up a reputation. It will be finished. In fact, I'm actually reviewing it for Rad tomorrow on Blistered Thumbs and This Week in Geek. So, you know, obviously it's made some kind of an impact.
Their work won't go to waste.
Exactly. Like, honestly, these guys deserve jobs at Capcom or Namco Bandai or any number of fighting game developers because they get it. They understand what level of work goes into it. They understand balancing. They understand developing unique move sets. Honestly, I could talk about this for a whole hour, but I guess we should probably wrap things up here on Last Exit to Ponyville. Hopefully next time we'll have Serial Velocity on the show, giving us his update from the community. Ponyville Gift Shop, you know what? In honor of the comics, I'm going to give the box set from the first issue a review and let you know if it's worth going out there to track it down. So, anything coming up from anybody here that we want to promote since we got people's ears?
No,
just listen to the Untitled Mike and Laura Project.
Woo! And hopefully the new in development podcast where I'm not involved, but someone named Mike and someone named Trevor might be.
I'm looking forward to this potential
apparently
project.
There's some demand told.
Yes.
As long as you involve British colloquialisms in it.
I'm going to pitch some podcast ideas. The first one is learn British colloquialisms with Trevor and Mike. And they'll have like a nice little British, you know, theme and all that good stuff.
Will you drink tea?
No, bourbon probably. They want me to drink bourbon at every episode. But anyway, enough about that.
We'll have to get a donation PayPal link for Trevor's bourbon fund.
Accept graciously.
That will be awesome. All right, guys. Well, for Last Exit to Ponyville, once again, big thanks to our sponsors of OffWorldDesigns.com. Like I said, don't forget to use promo code BROHOOF and pick up some of their awesome brony t-shirts. There some really cool designs. I recommend the Pony State Ponies. That one, I hope somehow they can turn that into a hockey jersey or something. So anyway, guys, until next time, we have been...
Laura!
Trevor, that other guy, and...
Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, friendship really is magic.
See ya.
You've been listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Last Exit to Ponyville. We want you to help make the show at least 20% cooler by your getting involved. Call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net, subject line Ponyville. We also have our official Facebook, which is facebook.com/Last Exit to Ponyville. Subscribe to us through iTunes or any podcatcher. Thanks for listening to us and keep it locked to EquestriaDaily.com and ThisWeekInGeek.net. And until next show, remember, friendship is magic.